This morning on WCHO, the 2014 race for U.S. Senate in North Carolina was one of the most contentious, one of the most negative, and easily the most expensive in the country. We all remember it all too well, and we will see it all over again in 2016.
It will be interesting to see if the North Carolina Senate race really ends up being one of the close ones in 2016.
Beginning next July, a new federal law will require colleges and universities to report statistics on sexual assault, domestic violence, and stalking, both on and off campus. Carolina is already doing it. And a large mixed-use development proposed for the northern end of Chapel Hill is up for public comment tonight when the Chapel Hill Town Council gets together. These stories and more, plus your Chapel Hill cover of traffic and weather together. In WCHL Championship Sports, Carolina men's basketball team down Robert Morris 103-59 Sunday night in the Smith Center. They're 2-0. So are the Carolina women. And
Carolina's defense won another football game over the weekend.
That's this morning at Archansky's Sports Notebook.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carrboro's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's Morning News with Ron Stutz begins now.
8:05, 44 degrees in Chapel Hill. A dense fog remains in advisory, and we have temperatures rising into the low 60s by the end of the afternoon, but still, it's really chilly this morning. This night's low in the upper 20s. Tomorrow, our high only in the upper 30s, so cold weather is definitely on the way. A large mixed-use development proposed for the northern end of Chapel Hill is up for public comment tonight. The Chapel Hill Town Council meets at Town Hall. The Edge, as it's known, is planned for 53 acres on Eubanks Road, not far from I-40, adjacent to the town's park and ride lot. Developer Northwood Raven proposes 23 buildings, ranging from 1 to 7 stories. The site will include a mix of retail and commercial space, with between 400 and 700 residential units. Up to 50 of those units could be affordable rentals subsidized using tax credits. The site has been earmarked for economic development since 2008. The current plan proposes more square footage on a smaller parcel than the original Edge concept put forward by another developer in 2011. The public hearing starts at 7 o'clock tonight in council chambers at Town Hall. The town of Carrboro is considering nearly $900,000 worth of updates and improvements to the town commons. WCHL's Danny Hooley has more after you hear from Mayor Lydia Lavelle.
Town Commons is one of our centerpieces. It's starting to be used, I think, more and more with some of our special events we've had there, some of the big concerts and our growing number of festivals. And of course, its genesis was in the farmers market when we moved over there many years ago.
That's Carrboro Mayor Lydia Lavelle. Last Tuesday, the Board of Aldermen was presented with a plan in three phases to update Town Commons for the first time since the mid-90s. Updates back then gave birth to the pavilions and gazebos that citizens now enjoy. A recent town study that included a survey resulted in a new plan that would cost between $800,000 and $900,000. Lavelle said she's excited about the proposed changes.
One iteration of, I think it's phase two, is to split the far parking lot into two smaller lots and create an area where we can have kind of a stage area.
She added there could be movies on the lawn and stages could be erected for musical performances. Preservation of the green area is also a priority. Lavelle said the turf on the commons really takes a beating as the area sees more and more use. She added that another goal is to make it easier to just walk around in the commons. Phase 3 actually involves reconfiguring the access road off Main Street to the farmer's market. Right now, drivers come in through Laurel Avenue, wind around for a bit, and then awkwardly maneuver their way in front of Town Hall or behind the back. Lavelle said it would be great to get rid of a little island there that serves no real purpose.
So there's a way to clean that up and come up with some more green space and with some more area there that would look nice.
The Board of Aldermen liked that idea so much, there's talk of folding Phase 3 into Phase 1. Lavelle said the Board of the Farmers Market will join the funding effort. The town of Carrboro is also seeking continuing input from citizens through its website.
Part of it is kind of bringing it back sometime after the new year and taking any more public comment, perhaps even getting some more public comment on the internet now that we have a design for people to comment on.
The next step will be to begin phasing in improvements. You can find a link to the Town of Carrboro site in this story at chapelboro.com. Danny Hooley, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
The 2014 race for U.S. Senate here in North Carolina was one of the most contentious, one of the most negative, and easily the most expensive of the country. And we will see it all over again in 2016, so get ready. Republican Richard Burr's seat will be up for grabs then. Where does Burr stand heading into the election? Which Democrats might pose a big challenge for him? And nationwide, who are the most vulnerable senators and the leading contenders for the Republican presidential nomination? WCHL's Aaron Keck spoke with public policy polling director Tom Jensen.
Out of the senators up in 2016 who we've taken an early look at their approval numbers, the two with negative approval ratings are Marco Rubio in Florida has a minus one approval rating, and Michael Bennett in Colorado has a minus five approval rating. So those may be two of the most vulnerable ones. But one person who's pretty far down the list when it comes to their approval rating is our own Richard Burr. Mm-hmm. He has a 33% approval rating, 28% disapproved. So it'll be interesting to see if the North Carolina Senate race really ends up being one of the close ones in 2016.
And that leaves a lot of people out there, about 40%, right, who don't have an opinion one way or the other.
Yeah, Richard Burr's really one of the lower-profile senators in the country. Pretty much what we found about him ever since he took office is about a third of voters approve of the job he's doing, about a third disapprove, and about a third don't have an opinion about him one way or the other. And what that means is that Burr's really sort of susceptible to the political winds. It's a good Republican year like it was, both when he was first elected in 2004 and when he got reelected in 2010, then he really, I think, should be in pretty decent shape. But he's not so popular that if it's a strong Democratic year, he'll necessarily be able to survive that. So he and Kay Hagan both really are sort of senators whose fate are at the mercy of the political climate. And as we saw this year with Kay Hagan, it was a bad Democratic year. She didn't make it. It could be the same sort of situation for Burr in 2016.
And are there, and we're speaking with Tom Jensen, by the way, public policy polling, are there Democrats in North Carolina who would pose a stronger challenge to Richard Burr? I know one of the most prominent Democrats is Roy Cooper, and he's sort of locked into the governor's race. Who else is out there?
Well, there's been a whole lot of discussion this week about whether Kay Hagan might be willing to run against Richard Burr and get right back into the fray. So it's sort of hard to see whether that's going to be something that she's interested in doing, but that's certainly an interesting option to think about for Democrats. I think the other name that a lot of Democrats are really thinking about as a potential challenger to Richard Burr is State Treasurer Janet Cal. But it's interesting that even after 6 years in office, Cal only has about 30% statewide name recognition. So really, once you get beyond Kay Hagan, Democrats are most likely going to be looking at a candidate who's not particularly well-known. But that's not necessarily a bad thing. When Kay Hagan got elected to the Senate in the first place in 2008, nobody really knew who she was, and that didn't keep her from winning. So you don't necessarily have to have somebody who starts out with a huge amount of name recognition.
And then turning up to the presidential race, I know you said last week that you were starting to look at numbers there, certainly with respect to the coming race for the Republican nomination in particular, as the Democratic race seems to be sort of set if Hillary Clinton decides to run after all. But where do things stand now as far as that goes?
We did eight state polls that we put results out for this week, and it was an interesting mix of findings about who Republicans want to be their candidate. In some states, Jeb Bush was the preferred person. In some states, it was Ben Carson, Chris Christie, and Mike Huckabee did pretty well as well. But really, what you saw is that there was a big mixture of findings across the board. It's a very different situation from the Democrats, where Hillary Clinton's the candidate of choice everywhere. When you look at the Republican field, it really is just sort of a hodgepodge of different people doing better in different places.
That is public policy polling director Tom Jensen speaking with WCHL's Aaron Keck. You can find public policy polling's latest numbers online at publicpolicypolling.com. North Carolina Democratic Party Chair Randy Voller is not seeking re-election to another two-year term. The former Pittsburgh mayor made the announcement on Saturday at the party executive committee meeting in Chatham County. The committee narrowly elected Voller in 2013, and he's focused on building local party organizations with the Democrats in the minority in state government. He's taken a lot of heat for the firing of party executive director Robert Dempsey. And when the first vice chairwoman resigned, citing disagreements with Voller, he's also taken heat because of Democratic U.S. Senator Kay Hagan's loss to Republican Tom Tillis. Current first vice chair Patsy Kiever has said she's seeking Voller's job, and Voller says he doesn't want the February election to be solely a referendum on the chairman. A highway marker in Hillsborough commemorates North Carolina's refusal to adopt the Constitution without a Bill of Rights more than 225 years ago. About 270 delegates met in Hillsboro in July of 1788 and refused to ratify the Constitution, instead calling for a Bill of Rights. The Constitution nevertheless received the necessary votes from 9 states and took effect in March of 1789. But North Carolina and Rhode Island continued to call for a Bill of Rights, which Congress approved later in 1789 and sent on to the states. North Carolina then held a second convention in Fayetteville where delegates ratified the Constitution. Now, that was more than 225 years ago when all that happened in Hillsboro. I wonder if Tom Stevens was the mayor then. It is time now for Traffic and Weather Together on WCHL. And here with your morning traffic on WCHL is Nikki Morse.
Thanks, Ron. Well, it looks like traffic's starting to pick up around the area. We do have some crowded conditions on Smith Level Road, both directions between Culberth and 54. Northbound Fordham Boulevard also heavily traveled as you approach Manning Drive through Highway 54. And 40 eastbound, expect brake lights to show up right around 751 and expect slow traffic through Highway 55. If you see anything while traveling, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Give us a call at 967-8363 or safely tweet us at WCHL Chapelboro.
Well, very good job. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And we'll talk to you again in just a little while here.
Okay.
But things moving along pretty well considering the fog and everything else that we have to contend with out there this morning, the fog and the rain. It is time now for your Chapel Hill Carborough weather, and it looks like this. Cold, 44 degrees right now. Look for a high today of about 62. A big chance of showers today. As a matter of fact, a 100% chance of rain all day. Tonight, we're looking at partly cloudy skies. Chance of rain up until about midnight, and then it'll clear up, and then it will turn much colder. Our overnight low in the upper 20s. Tomorrow, sunny, much cooler, with a high only in the upper 30s. And tomorrow night, it's really going to be cold, with a low around 18 degrees tomorrow night. Wednesday, sunshine with a high in the low 40s. So that's our sort of long-range forecast for the next couple of days here. Doesn't sound all that promising, does it? So at any rate, watch out for the fog this morning. It is really thick out there in some spots, but otherwise not so bad to start this morning, but kind of a cool, rainy day all day today.
Good morning from 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL. You're waking up with Ron Stutz. And remember, we're your station for the Tar Heels.
WCHL News Time is 8:17. Beginning next July, a new federal law will require colleges and universities to report statistics on sexual assault, domestic violence, and stalking both on and off campus. Here in Chapel Hill, university officials are planning ahead. UNC has already included all of that data in its 2014 report as well, which came out just last month. Elise McLothan reports for Carolina Connection, and a very important new rule going into effect.
UNC's Department of Public Safety released its annual campus security report in October. The report indicates that in 2013, 5 cases of dating violence, 4 incidents of domestic violence, and 14 stalking cases occurred on campus. Kelly Raker is the Sexual Violence Prevention Coordinator in the Office of Student Wellness. She explains that dating and domestic violence fall under the larger umbrella of interpersonal violence.
When we talk about that, it can mean physical, sexual, emotional, economic, psychological, basically threats or actions that someone's going to find intimidating or frightening or terrorizing or threatening. So oftentimes this happens in relationships, and it could be an intimate relationship, but also could happen between roommates or a parent to a child or kind of different kinds of relationships as well.
DPS spokesman Randy Young said the information was included this year due to federal law. The Violence Against Women Act stipulates that information on dating violence, domestic violence, and stalking be included in the report. Young says the difference between domestic and dating violence is subtle.
Dating violence could be in any two people that share in any kind of a level of intimate relationship. And a domestic situation or domestic violence reflects violence among people who are either habitating together or who may share a family member, such as a child.
Young says while the number of reported cases seem relatively low on a campus of over 29,000 students, The actual number of cases is probably higher because some students don't report that they've been victims of violence.
What we're working in all of these areas, whether it's the reporting of sexual offenses or whether it's the reporting of any violence, is that for the number of reported to approach and get closer and closer to the number that is actuality.
Students can report incidents to the Dean of Students' Office, Public Safety, or the Equal Opportunity and Compliance Office. Another place that students can go, their dorms. Residential advisors, or RAs, are also a resource for a student who has experienced this type of situation. Junior Alexis Robinson has worked as an RA for 2 years. During her training, she received information on how to deal with cases of sexual violence claims.
So what are you looking for?
I'm looking for some documents that we got during our RA training about what to do in situations of sexual violence on UNC campus. And it also has some of the resources that people could use that are confidential.
Robinson says her residents haven't informed her of any interpersonal violence. However, she says other RAs have heard about these types of situations.
My first year being an RA, I was told about an experience where there was a resident who experienced this kind of violence, like with a partner, somebody they were actually with, but it was just like an action they were not ready to participate in at the moment. But as RAs, we're not really allowed to share like any kind of details about things like that, but that is a general story I've heard.
Robinson says many times students won't talk to the appropriate person or anyone to seek help.
I feel like there's some shame with victims. I feel like sometimes they think it's their fault, so they keep it inside and don't talk about it. But I do think it's something that's really important. Like, even if it's just somebody that's your close friend, but preferably somebody who can actually get you help and get you the justice you deserve for crimes like that.
As DPS continues to collect more information in the upcoming years, Young says he hopes the data will reflect the total number of incidents,
so that we get a more accurate picture of what's out there.
After all, having accurate data is what makes the campus security report a vital tool in evaluating campus safety. In Chapel Hill, I'm Elise McLothian.
Carolina Connection is the radio news magazine of the UNC School of Journalism and Mass Communication. It airs here on WCHL every Saturday morning at 8:30 during the school year. Time for championship sports. North Carolina men's basketball team beat Robert Morris last night 103-59 in the Smith Center to improve to 2-0 on the season. Big men Bryce Johnson and Kennedy Meeks played a big part on the scoreboard and the glass. WCHL's Matt Oakes reports.
UNC head coach Roy Williams says he was encouraged by his team's improvement from Friday night's game and was especially pleased with the way the Tar Heels played in the paint.
Well, we were, I thought, much more active defensively tonight than we were Friday night. That seems like a long time ago. But then I think we turned those turnovers or their missed shots into the break better. Thought we also executed much better against their zone. We moved it better tonight. Our big guys can pass the ball, and we've done a nice job of that in practice. We didn't do it Friday night, but I thought we did tonight. We're more gifted than Robert Morris, but I think pleased with our effort. I thought we should be pleased with our attendance. And I think the biggest thing is early in the game, I think we dominated the boards.
UNC grabbed 49 rebounds. That's 18 more than their opponent Saturday night. Johnson led the Tar Heel scoring drive with 23 points and also snared 8 rebounds. The junior forward says Coach Williams has been stressing the need for the interior guys to impact the game significantly.
Kenny and myself were just exploding up there and be able to get it. That's the one thing Coach has been telling us. He's just been emphasizing us to be able to explode up there and be able to get the ball and grab it and be able to just go right back up with it. If you have like 3 guys on you, don't go right back up, because I mean you're going to get it blocked by one of the 3 guys. But we just did a good job of keeping it high after we get the rebound and just be able to put it back up there.
As for Meeks, he hit blackjack, scoring 21 points and leading the team with 12 rebounds. The slimmed down sophomore says the Tar Heels plan on thriving on second chance opportunities this season.
He always says that's the most important part of the game is rebounding. It's just the second opportunities, like you said. I mean, it helps us get open shots on the perimeter. When they're knocking those down, it helps us get easy points down low. So, I mean, it all works out for everybody.
Coach Williams has high praise for the potential of this batch of Tar Heels. He says the team could be his best offensive rebounding squad ever. The UNC Hall of Famer was happy with Johnson and Meek Sunday, but he says the duo will need to be more consistent to truly have a dominant impact on the program like past Carolina greats.
you know, what we've got to do is see that over the course of a season. I thought last year those guys had some good games, some really good games every now and then, but it's got to be on a consistent basis, like Tyler Zeller and John Henson, you know, Tyler Hansbrough, Sean May, those guys give it to you every night, and then it's difficult for the other team to play anything.
All right, that is Matt Oaks with his report on the game last night, Carolina winning, and of course the next outing for the Tar Heels on the road in Charlotte at Time Warner Cable Arena next Saturday, November 22nd against the Davidson Wildcats. 824 at WCHL. Dave Glenn joins us now for the David Glenn Show to an ACC Sports Journal, and he's all over the place. Dave, it's always good to talk to you, buddy.
Hey, great to be with you again, Ron.
With two games now in the books over the weekend, Carolina winning against North Carolina Central and then last night over Robert Morris. What are your initial thoughts and takeaways from the 2014 Tar Heels?
I thought it was interesting because we got to see a little bit of the Tar Heels' offensive challenges against North Carolina Central, where they dedicated their entire game plan to Marcus Page, who did not have a good game statistically, and NC Central kind of succeeded in at least slowing the Tar Heels down. It's going to be up to that more consistent play of Bryce Johnson and Kennedy Meeks, as Roy Williams said. It's going to be up to freshman wing Justin Jackson continuing to grow. And a guy like J.P. Tokoto, who last night or yesterday was really fantastic offensively when Robert Morris presented the Tar Heels with some of the same defensive challenges, including some cases the zone. I mean, J.P. Tokoto had 10 assists against that zone, and that's more than any Tar Heel player had all last year. So if Marcus Page can get that kind of help offensively, and the Tar Heels have that offensive rebounding ability and I think a lot of athletes who can defend well, well, that just shows you that the sky can be the limit if they keep getting better game by game and week by week.
Well, everybody knows about Marcus Page, and I've often said that this year his statistics might not be as glowing if he can get more help from some other people. So who do you expect will emerge as the second big go-to scorer for Carolina?
Well, I'd have to put my money on a guy like Bryce Johnson. I think he's such an efficient scorer in the post. He's a big guy with that rare, beautiful, really soft touch where you're almost surprised that if he has a really good look at the rim, you're surprised when it doesn't go in, at least if it's mid-range or closer. Kennedy Meeks on some nights has a chance to be that guy as well. And then on the wing, it's just got to be Justin Jackson or J.P. Tokoto, because really, after those five, Ron, you have a lot of guys who are good basketball players, but who are not yet very good offensive basketball players. You know, Nate Britt, Joel Berry, Theo Pinson, Isaiah Hicks, Desmond Hubert, Joel James, Jackson Simmons, all of those guys give the Tar Heels something, but not one of those latter seven guys I mentioned is really an offensive threat. So Johnson and Meeks in the post, Jackson and Tokoto on the wing, I think the Tar Heels are going to have to get a huge majority of their points from those five guys.
We're talking to Dave Glenn, and Dave, it's really funny. You went down that list there, and that just illustrates how deep this Carolina team is. Outside of Duke and UNC, who do you see as the main threats to win it all in the ACC?
I think you'd have to go to, well, if you give me three, it would definitely be Louisville, the Virginia Cavaliers, and the Syracuse Orange. You know, two of those three, coached by Hall of Famers and Rick Pitino and Jim Boeheim, the other coached by the guy who was the ACC champion last year, Tony Bennett, at UVA. They're talented. They're deep in all three of those cases. So, yeah, Duke and Carolina are obvious. Syracuse has freshmen again, so I think when folks get to see them on TV, they're going to realize that just like, you know, Tyler Ennis last year and a lot of other guys going back to Carmelo Anthony and before are pretty amazingly talented freshmen for Jim Boeheim. I think those three are the biggest threats to the Tar Heels and the Blue Devils, and it's not mere coincidence that those three are, you know, the other three from the ACC that were ranked in the preseason top 25.
Well, David Glenn, we always appreciate your insights, and good talking to you.
Thanks, Ron. You too.
That is Dave Glenn, David Glenn Show, and ACC Sports Journal. You know him, and he's always got good things to say about Carolina and ACC basketball in general, and really incisive comments. It is 8:28 at WCHL. Quick mention, the Carolina women, of course, won yesterday, 84-68. They are also 2-0 now after They're scoring 30 points against UCLA a year ago. Alicia Gray continues to shine in the court. Once again, she led her team in scoring with 19 points, and she also had 6 rebounds yesterday.
Just take away Gray's three-point shot and say, oh, God. You know, I mean, I think that he exposes any other weaknesses in the defense.
That is Bruin head coach Corey Close following her team's defeat at the hands of the Heels. Gray has been UNC's leading scorer in both games so far. Carolina will play its third consecutive home game against another tough opponent, number 21 Oklahoma State, Wednesday night at 6. You can hear it right here on WCHL. And, of course, Carolina's football team got a win 40-35 on Saturday in Kanan Stadium. Big performance by Marquise Williams, who is absolutely amazing. Tar Heels now 5-5 in the season, 3-3 in the ACC. Not much time to celebrate Tar Heels' take on Duke this Thursday night. And Art has more on the game coming up on WCHL. I'm Ron Stutz.
Art Chansky's Sports Notebook, exclusively on 97.9 FM WCHL.
Carolina's defense won another football game over the weekend. This is Art Chansky with Monday Sports Notebook. You have to hand it to the Tar Heel defense. It gives up the most yards, first downs, and points in the ACC, but it has impeccable timing. For the second straight game in Kenan Stadium, Carolina's much-maligned D gave the team's high-powered offense the time it needed to win in the waning seconds. It's almost like they do it on purpose. Remember a month ago in the shootout against Georgia Tech? Back and forth the game went when you thought the Yellow Jackets would have the ball last. Then our defense got completely faked out on a Tech double reverse and gave up a 75-yard touchdown run to fall behind by a point, 43-42. As bad as the defense looked in that play, it also allowed Marquise Williams and company 3 minutes to get on the field and score the winning TD with 11 seconds left. Sophomore T.J. Logan's first TD of the season. Fast forward to Saturday versus Pitt and the same scenario unfolded. Carolina fell behind 14-0 before blocking a field goal and mounting a comeback, despite more than 200 yards of rushing by Pitt's prototype NFL running back James Conner. When the Panthers got the ball trailing 34-28, you knew Conner would eventually score again for his fourth touchdown. The question was, how long would it take because time was running out? That opportunistic Tar Heel defense took little time in letting the Panthers and Conner rumble down the field. It even looked like they sorta kinda let Conner run the last 22 yards into the end zone. He was going to score anyway, so why not preserve precious time on the clock? The Tar Heels got the ball back with 3:33 showing, and it truly became a game of who had it last. Despite one dicey 4th-and-2 from the Pitt 30, Marquise moved Carolina to the shadow of the goal line on a 23-yard bullet across the middle to Quinchar Davis. From there, Logan punched in his second TD of the season, beating the Panthers the same way he did the Jackets a month earlier. You know what they say about life. It's all about timing. The Tar Heel defense may leave a lot to be decided otherwise, but like the old Beach Boys song says, it has good, good timing. This is Art Chansky. See ya.
I'm going to ask you a question, and I want you to think about it. Is there anything better than a lobster dinner? Fresh, tender, succulent lobster? For lobster lovers everywhere, the answer is obvious. No. Now imagine your delicious fresh Maine lobster served with a side of perfectly whipped mashed potatoes and the world's best hush puppies. You deserve a lobster. And here's the good news. Your lobster dinner is waiting for you at Squid's tonight.
Squid's Restaurant and Oyster Bar. And don't forget, lobsters are on special every Monday night.
We've all heard about vaping. What is it?
Vaping is the solution that many people have been looking for. It lets people have controlled amounts of nicotine without smoking cigarettes.
So no smoke?
No lighters, no matches, no cigarette butts, no cigarette stink.
Wow, that does sound a lot better than smoking. Where can people learn more?
The best way to learn more is to stop by one of our beautiful stores. We're located in Chapel Hill, Durham, and Pittsboro.
Just go to thevaporgirl.com and click on retail stores for Google Maps and phone numbers. Thevaporgirl.com.
Every Tuesday morning, Wolfgang Bakery and Grooming in Chapel Hill partners with WCHL and local animal shelters to present WCHL's Adopt-A-Pet. Come to Wolfgang Bakery and Grooming in Meadowmont Village for premium pet food and treats and a grooming spa experience for your furry friend. Bring your pup into Wolfgang to receive a special treatment. This month, we're offering a free teeth cleaning with just of a full or mini grooming. Wolfgang Bakery and Grooming in Chapel Hill fully supports finding your next pet to pamper through Adopt-A-Pet on WCHL every Tuesday morning.
Hi, I'm Sarah Cooney, owner of the Root Cellar Cafe and Catering.
You've known us as Foster's Market Chapel Hill, but we recently changed our name, and I invite you to come check out our new look. We stayed true to the concepts that made Foster's legendary. Scratch-made food, fresh local ingredients, and a commitment to our local farms and community. We've also added some exciting new menu items. Think of the Root Cellar as an old friend with a new name. Visit us on MLK for delicious food, made right, right here, or at RootCellarChapelHill.com.
This hour of the morning news is presented by Durham Tech Community College. Want a head start on college or career skills? A great opportunity awaits you at Durham Tech, online at durhamtech.edu.
If it's happening in our Chapel Hill Carborough community, you will hear about it on 97.9 FM, WCHL, and you'll find it on our website, chapelborough.com.
WCHL News, Talk and Tar Heels at 97.9 FM, WCHL.
834 at WCHL, 45 degrees in Chapel Hill. It's wet out there. It's still foggy. Not as cool this afternoon. Our high today in the low 60s. 100% chance of rain all day. I'm Rod Stutz. A large mixed-use development proposed for the northern end of Chapel Hill is up for public comment when the Chapel Hill Town Council meets tonight. It's known as The Edge, and it's planned for 53 acres on Eubanks Road, adjacent to the town's park and ride lot. Developer Northwood Raven proposes 23 buildings ranging from 1 to 7 stories. The site will include a mix of retail and commercial space with between 400 and 700 residential units. Up to 50 of those could be affordable rentals subsidized using tax credits. The site has been earmarked for economic development since 2008. The current plan proposes more square footage on a smaller parcel than the original Edge concept put forward by another developer back in 2011. The public hearing starts at 7 o'clock in council chambers at Town Hall. The town of Carborough is considering spending nearly $900,000 for updates and improvements to the town commons area. WCHL's Danny Hooley has more.
Town commons is one of our centerpieces. It's starting to be used, I think, more and more with some of our special events we've had there, some of the big concerts and our growing number of festivals. And of course, its genesis was in the farmers market when we moved over there many years ago.
That's Carborough Mayor Lydia Lavelle. Last Tuesday, the Board of Aldermen was presented with a plan in three phases to update town commons for the first time since the mid-90s. Updates back then gave birth to the pavilions and gazebos that citizens now enjoy. A recent town study that included a survey resulted in a new plan that would cost between $800,000 and $900,000. Lavelle said she's excited about the proposed changes.
One iteration of, I think it's phase two, is to split the far parking lot into two smaller lots and create an area where we can have kind of a stage area.
She added there could be movies on the lawn and stages could be erected for musical performances. Preservation of the green area is also a priority. Lavelle said the turf on the commons really takes a beating as the area sees more and more use. She added that another goal is to make it easier to just walk around in the commons. Phase 3 actually involves reconfiguring the access road off Main Street to the farmer's market. Right now, drivers come in through Laurel Avenue, wind around for a bit, and then awkwardly maneuver their way in front of Town Hall or behind the back. Lavelle said it would be great to get rid of a little island there that serves no real purpose.
There's a way to clean that up and come up with some more green space and with some more area there that would look nice.
The Board of Aldermen liked that idea so much, there's talk of folding Phase 3 into Phase 1. Lavelle said the Board of the Farmers Market will join the funding effort. The town of Carborough is also seeking continuing input from citizens through its website.
Part of it is kind of bringing it back sometime after the new year and taking any more public comment, perhaps even getting some more public comment on the internet now that we have a design for people to comment on.
The next step will be to begin phasing in improvements. You can find a link to the Town of Carborough site in this story at chapelborough.com. Danny Hooley, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
And news around town this morning. As part of UNC's year-long commemoration of the 100th anniversary of World War I, you're invited to a world premiere theatrical event this month, a restored version of a musical play called Johnny Johnson by Paul Green and Kurt Weill, with text and music that haven't been heard since 1937. Johnny Johnson runs at the Keenan Theater from November 20th through 24th. If you like times and ticket information, visit dramaunc.edu/Johnny Johnson. And it's holiday season, and Orange County Animal Services is marking the occasion with its annual Home for the Holidays campaign. Now through January 3rd, Animal Services is offering reduced adoption fees for select dogs and cats. You'll be able to see some of the dogs at the Hillsborough Holiday Parade on December 6th and the Chapel Hill Carborough Holiday Parade on December 13th. And Animal Services is also running a a can pet food drive next month, collecting cans for local pet owners in need. Bring cans of food to Animal Services on Eubanks Road between December 1st and 20th, and they'll be distributed by Orange Congregations in Mission and Chapel Hill Meals on Wheels. WCHL News Time, 8:38. Coming up, we're going to tell you what's happening at the Carborough Film Festival. We also have today's commentary on the way from Matt Bailey, who says Chapel Hill needs better choices for office space. And we're not talking about the movie. That is on the way right here on WCHL.
Hey, I'm Sarah Cooney, owner of the Root Cellar Cafe and Catering. You've noticed this Foster's Market Chapel Hill, but we've recently changed our name and look. We've stayed true to the concepts that made Foster's legendary. We've also added some new menu items that we're excited to share. We've expanded our catering and are ready to make your holiday entertaining a breeze. From family gatherings to company parties, think of the Root Cellar for delicious food. Made right, right here. Download our catering menu at RootCellarChapelHill.com.
And one and two.
Meet Samaya. She may seem like an ordinary four-year-old budding ballerina, but she's a champion at heart. Samaya was diagnosed with congestive heart failure at 4 months old. That's when UNC Children stepped in with a life-saving transplant she needed. As a leading children's hospital in the Southeast, we provide care for future champions of all ages, like Samaya, so she can get back to dancing and we can say we knew her when. Visit unccchildrens.org.
Coleman, Huntoon & Brown brings you this week's Tax Bite. Our expert tax tips to help you with your financial and tax planning needs. Is a Roth IRA conversion right for you? If you have a traditional IRA, you might benefit from converting all or some of it to Roth IRA. A conversion can allow you to turn tax-deferred future growth into tax-free growth. Let us run the numbers and help you decide if a Roth IRA conversion is right for you. That's your Tax Bite of the Week from Coleman, Huntoon & Brown. And you can find more on chapelboro.com.
I'm Patty Benedict with 300 East Main, inviting you to celebrate the holidays, Carborough style. This Saturday, 300 East Main is hosting a Frozen Holiday open house from 2 to 6 p.m. We're showing the Disney movie Frozen for free at the Hampton Inn & Suites at 2 p.m. After the movie, step out to falling snow and enjoy crafts, carolers, and photo ops with Frozen characters. Frozen at 300 East Main is part of Carborough Cheer, a month-long series of events promoting holiday shopping and dining in Carborough. Visit localcarborough.com for details.
This is Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station, WCHL. Now, here's Ron Stutz.
Good morning. It is 8:41 at WCHL, 45 degrees and wet in Chapel Hill, and 44 this morning in Carborough.
And now, WCHL presents the commentators.
This is Matt Bailey. Let's say you wanted to start a business. And since you live in Chapel Hill, you'd really like to have your office space here in Chapel Hill. A couple of creative hotshots you want to hire tell you they want to work where you could walk to lunch or grab a craft beer after work, so you look for space near Franklin Street. You love the idea of taking the bus to work, but that accountant and Carrie you were hoping to hire tells you she's got to get her kid from preschool, and it's just too hard to get in and out of downtown Chapel Hill in time. So you look for space at the suburban office parks out near 15501 and I-40. The trees are nice, but the buildings are kind of frumpy, and you can't even walk to anything from there. Forget convincing potential employees that you're a fun place to work. Where would they even eat lunch? You're sharing your woes with a colleague who points out that more companies are moving to large open floor plans to encourage communication and collaboration. Everything you've seen in Chapel Hill has been kind of cramped and claustrophobic. Finally, you call a realtor who shows you the perfect office. It's in the center of the action, you can drive or take transit, it's open and airy, and it's in Durham. Contrary to popular belief, there are people who want to start businesses in Chapel Hill. And contrary to popular belief, there is office space for rent in Chapel Hill. The problem is, most of it isn't designed for how today's businesses work and isn't in environments where today's top talent want to work. There's a reason Durham's American Tobacco is renting space as soon as they can bring it online, and there's a reason Blue Cross Blue Shield is leaving their iconic building in Chapel Hill. If we're going to compete for tomorrow's businesses, we can't do it with yesterday's office space. This is Matt Bailey.
Is there a local issue you care about? You're invited and encouraged to contribute your own views on this or any other issue. The Commentators. Local people, local issues on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Good morning. It is 8:43 at WCHL. Rod Stutz here. And as always, special guests on the morning show here. And today, we're going to talk about the Carborough Film Festival. We have Ellie Kinnaird in the house. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great.
Always good to see you, Ellie. And Martha Moore is also here, and Martha is a filmmaker. How are you, Martha?
I'm doing wonderfully. Thank you.
Fantastic. I know that we have the Carrboro Film Festival coming up, and this is something to always get excited about. And when Ellie's excited about something, you know it's going to be great. But there is a special documentary that Martha has done called The Honorable Ellie Kinnaird. And Martha, tell us about that, would you?
Well, the title of it to me is a double entendre because I think, you know, obviously it's her title, her official title now that she's no longer in office. But it, I think it also represents the way that she's lived her life. And for me, I've always been interested in women's empowerment. And that to me means finding your own voice and using it. And so a few years ago, I moved back to North Carolina to be near my mother, who lives at Carroll Woods at the retirement community here. And I was amazed at the women that live there that are in their 80s and their 90s, and they've had these wonderful lives, accomplished lives. And this was even before the women's movement. And I was just curious about how did they do that? You know, and some of these women were pioneers in the women's movement. And so I heard Ellie give a speech about that time about her life and about the need for more women in politics and the value that women bring to governance. And I kind of got the idea that I think that any woman's life is, if you really kind of look at the arc of her life, it's really a reflection of the society at the time. And Ellie was born in the 30s and came of age in the 50s and really had a conventional upbringing. And then after the women's movement, she recreated herself. She went to law school in her 50s while she was mayor of Carrboro, and she had a law practice, and then she went on to the North Carolina Senate. So what I wanted to do was kind of have a project that would inform people, especially younger women, about the contributions of women of this generation.
What a fantastic subject to do to do a documentary on. And Ellie, being the subject of a documentary is something that not many people have a chance to experience, to say the least. But also, it puts you in a position where you're pretty vulnerable. Why did you agree to do this, and what was it like, this whole experience?
Well, I never am happy with a spotlight on me. I'm always embarrassed and sort of cringing at what's going to end up. But this is a journey, and I thought that this was exactly what my life embodied, exactly as Martha described it. And it is something that I think a lot of women have gone through of my generation. And I think it's important for younger women to know our story is their story.
That's exactly right.
Martha, what do you hope people will take away from seeing this documentary during the Carrboro Film Festival?
Well, you know, I think the film itself was set in last year in 2013 when all hell broke loose in the assembly.
To say
so
the least.
It you know, documents Moral Mondays and Ellie's part in the Sharia debate, among other things. And then finally, her resignation that garnered a lot of national attention. So it documents her final year in public office. And I think, you know, we need to see more stories in the media about women and women role models. You know, our country and our world really benefits from women who find their voice and use it, and that to me is true empowerment. And, you know, we need the balancing energy of women, the feminine energy in our government. So, and we also need to honor the stories of the women that have been before us.
Ellie Kinnaird and Martha Moore, our guests this morning. We're talking about the Carrboro Film Festival and a special documentary entitled The Honorable Ellie Kinnaird. Ellie, I wanted to ask you this for a long time. any words of wisdom that you have for young women or not so young women who are thinking about entering political life?
I have a path that I outline to every one of them that I talk about. And it's very straightforward. And it says, get involved, start early. If you're in a municipality or a county, join a citizens advisory group. You'll get to know all sorts of people, that networking, that hackneyed word that is so important. People will get to know you. You will understand your government. You will understand your community. Then run for office and keep going and don't stop until you're president.
And that, of course, is pretty much what you've done. I mean, you resign your seat in the Senate because you figured you could make a bigger impact on things last year getting out the vote. And you're still hard at work. A lot of folks don't know what you're doing because it's kind of behind the scenes, but you're still very, very active out there. And I know that you encourage everybody to do that.
Well, thank you. And I really thank you all for bringing this story, because it is a story of my generation, the next generation can do, because they're building on the foundation that we built for them.
Yeah. Martha, I know that you've gotten my interest up on this. When is the Honorable Ellie Kinnaird screening? When can folks see it?
Our film is this Sunday at 1 o'clock, and you can get tickets at the door or online at the Carpo Film Festival. And it's really affordable. You could get about over 40 films for $20 for both days or $15 for each day.
Fantastic. And is there a place where folks can go to get all the whole lineup on the Carpo Film Festival?
CarpoFilmFestival.com.
All right.
And they have the whole schedule there, and it's going to be at the Century Center.
Mm. Well, we want to thank also Nick Beery and Jackie Helvey and everybody else who's been involved in putting this whole thing together, because it really is an amazing experience. It gets bigger and better every year. Folks love it, and this is a really great one. And Martha, I'm so glad you did this on Ellie, because I have all the respect in the world for her, and there
Me
are a
too.
Lot of other people out there.
Lots of Ellie fans out there.
Exactly.
You're kind.
Yeah. I still remember you riding your bicycle all the way to Raleigh.
And look at the number of people who now ride their bicycles.
That's right. You inspired them. Hey, listen, thanks a lot for coming in this morning.
Thank you.
It is 8:49 at WCHL, and Nikki Morse is here, and Nikki's going to slip right in there in front of the microphone and give us a look at morning traffic on WCHL. And Nikki, I know that you just had the opportunity to meet the Honorable Ellie Kinnaird for the first time.
And
that's a pretty amazing
experience.
Yeah,
I'm honored. She's really cool.
She's a great person to know, that's for sure. Well, time for our traffic report on WCHL and what's happening in the roadways.
Still seeing some crowded conditions on Smith Level Road between Culbreth and 54 in both directions. 40 eastbound, a little crowded, 751 through Fayetteville Road. And expect some slowdowns northbound Durham Freeway from Alexander Drive through Austin Avenue. If you see anything while traveling, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Give us a call at 967-8363 or safely tweet us at WCHL Chapelboro.
By the way, I forgot to mention that we're going to be doing a whole bunch of interviews all week about the Carborough Film Festival, both here on the WCHL Morning News and in the afternoon news with Aaron Keck as well. So listen, and we'll have much more details on a lot of other things that are happening there.
Fantastic.
All right, and pretty soon there may even be a documentary on the life of Nikki Morse.
But so exciting. It'll be so thrilling. Edge of your seat.
Don't hold your breath on that one. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
We'll talk to you later on. WCHL's Chapel Hill Carborough weather is brought to you by the Chapel Hill Carborough Chamber of Commerce. It is 45 degrees right now. Dense fog still out there in some spots. Dense fog advisory in effect. Showers today, 100% chance of rain. Our high temperature this afternoon in the low 60s. Chance of rain, as I said, a sure thing. Tonight, partly cloudy with a chance of rain continuing until about midnight. Then it'll clear up. Our overnight low in the upper 20s. And then tomorrow is sunny, much cooler with a high in the upper 30s. Tomorrow night, we're going to get all the way down to 18. The Salute to Community Heroes is on December 11th. Nominate somebody you know to get recognition for their volunteerism and commitment to our community. Visit carolinachamber.org/salute. The deadline for nominees is November 19th, which is this Wednesday. So if you're going to nominate someone, go ahead and get on that right away. 8:52 at WCHL. And good morning.
As presenting sponsor of the 2014 Battle for Atlantis contest, Continental Tire is sending two lucky UNC fans to the Bahamas to cheer on your Tar Heels. Let Continental Tire get you to the game with its award-winning Eco Plus technology that gains you miles and saves money. From the all-new True Contact to the Cross Contact LX20, Continental Tire has a tire that's right for you. To find a retailer near you, visit ContinentalTire.com. Continental Tire, for what you do.
Hey, Vapor Girl, tell us about your e-liquid flavors.
In 30 seconds, impossible. We manufacture in Chapel Hill more than 250 original flavors.
Well, what's in your e-liquid?
Well, we use only nicotine from North Carolina tobacco.
What's your favorite?
My favorite e-liquid is Angel Lust, and it tastes just like strawberry shortcake.
Wow, Vapor Girl, I've got to go to your store and try all those flavors. Just go to thevaporgirl.com and click on retail stores for Google Maps and phone numbers.
Looking for a classic village lifestyle plus a sophisticated new home? Visit Stanley Martin Homes at Winmore, just off Homestead Road in Chapel Hill. Not only does Winmore offer a pool, playground, trails, and open space, your children can walk to Sewell Elementary and Chapel Hill High School. The UNC bus route stops at Winmore, right near
Town Center, too. Stanley Martin Homes offers the best in energy efficiency and a choice of three beautiful designs at Winmore, starting in the 370s. Go see them or go to stanleymartin.com.
At Five Guys, they're in the business to sell quality burgers, period. Nothing beats Five Guys' hand-formed patties of fresh ground beef piled high with any or all of 15 free toppings. Burgers not your thing? Enjoy Five Guys' grilled kosher beef hot dogs topped off with all the same great toppings. And who can resist Five Guys' fresh-cut Idaho fries cooked in trans fat and cholesterol-free peanut oil? Stop by the new location at Meadowmont Village to see what all the buzz is about.
Morning, it is 8:54 at WCHL. You remember the word of the day today from Wayne Pond? Very interesting word. And if you remember what that is, if you can tell me how to spell it and what it means, then I will give you a $10 gift certificate to Cruisers. Your number to call right now to be a winner is 919-929-WCHL. Call right now, $10 gift certificate to Cruisers on the line where you are always good to go. That number once again is 919-929-WCHL.
Performance BMW in Chapel Hill is kicking off the holiday season with an up to $3,500 holiday credit on select BMWs. I'm Gerald Ramoyne, General Manager of Performance BMW in Chapel Hill. With BMW's Happier Holiday event and a holiday credit up to $3,500, this holiday season truly will be the happiest in history. Hurry into Performance BMW for the Happier Holiday event and lease a new 2015 BMW 320i for $344 per month. That's the ultimate driving machine with ultimate service that includes free maintenance for 4 years or 50,000 miles for $344 per month. Wow! Happy holidays from Performance BMW in Chapel Hill. Visit our virtual showroom at PerformanceBMW at ChapelHill.com.
Stock number B5239. 39-month lease with 10,000 miles per year. Based on MSRP of $39,500 and selling price of $36,250 with $22,32 due at signing. Excludes tax, tag, and $649 admin fee. Dealer retains holiday credit. Financing with approved credit through BMW FS. See dealer for details. Take delivery before November 30th, 2014. Visit BMWUSAUltimateService.com for more details.
BMW is the ultimate driving machine. 2014 Center of Excellence. Wow!
The rugged Samsung Galaxy S5 Active, exclusively from AT&T, stands up to most everything. Falls into the shallow end? No problem. Falls into a mud puddle? A-OK. Falls into a deep fryer? That's a no-no. Drop it in a mop bucket? Fine. Drop it in the chili con queso? No problemo. Drop it in a garbage disposal? Yeah, that's a problem. Rain shower? No biggie. Meteor shower? That would be a no.
AT&T, mobilizing your world. Make the most of this school year and get the Samsung Galaxy S5 Active for zero down with AT&T Next. Exclusive to AT&T, the Galaxy S5 Active is engineered for your active lifestyle. Visit att.com or store for details.
Device meets military standards for water and shock resistance. Submersible to 3 feet for 30 minutes. Rinse residue shock resistant for drops or falls less than 4 feet on flat surface. AT&T Next requires qualified installment agreement, credit, and wireless service. Taxes, other charges, and restrictions apply.
And one and two.
Meet Samaya. She may seem like an ordinary four-year-old budding ballerina, but she's a champion at heart. Samaya was diagnosed with congestive heart failure at 4 months old. That's when UNC Children stepped in with a life-saving transplant she needed. As a leading children's hospital in the Southeast, we provide care for future champions of all ages, like Samaya, so she can get back to dancing and we can say we knew her when. Visit unccchildrens.org.
Hey, congratulations to Valerie Schwartz, who called in with the word of the day on WCHL. It is Sisyphean, S-I-S-Y-P-H-E-A-N. And since it is an eponym, it is the S is capitalized, capital S-I-S-Y-P-H-E-A-N. It means, it's kind of complicated, but it means long-suffering or somebody who does the same thing all the time and doesn't really get anywhere, that sort of thing. Wayne, in fact, said that I was Sisyphean for getting up so early in the morning all these years. That may or may not be true, Wayne, but Sisyphean is our word of the day, and Valerie Schwartz gets a $10 gift certificate to Cruisers. Wayne will have another word for you bright and early tomorrow at about 10 minutes until 8 o'clock here on WCHL.
You remember the 007 movies? The name is Bond, James Bond. The man who saved the world time and time again, who always had a gorgeous woman hanging on his arm. Well, my friend, you have a spectacular woman of your own hanging on your arm. And because you want to keep her forever, you're going to take a page from 007. Yes, the name is Bond. Marriage Bond. Yes, you're going to secretly slip into our store, and when you leave our store, you will have in your hands, just like Mr. Bond of the movies, a little device that's going to change the world. That secret device? An engagement ring from Grimble Jewelers. And then at the critical moment, and you will know precisely when, you take your little device out of your pocket, and with just a few words, you're going to change her world and yours because you love her and she loves you. And you are Bond, Marriage Bond. Come to Grimble Jewelers today because your name is Bond, Marriage Bond. Grimble Jewelers, corner of Franklin and Elliott.
Are you a weekend warrior? Along with the fun of being active comes the risk of injury. This is Dr. Harry Stafford, Director of the Primary Care Sports Medicine Fellowship here at UNC, as well as a UNC team physician. And for those times when your knee gets injured, your Achilles is hurt, your back goes out, or if you've got a shoulder injury, UNC Family Medicine is a great choice for fast and easy treatments, including cutting-edge platelet-rich plasma injections and much more. I invite you to find out more on our website, uncfamilymedicine.org. UNC Family Medicine, here for all weekend warriors.
This hour of the morning news is presented by Durham Tech Community College. Want a head start on college or career skills? A great opportunity awaits you at Durham Tech. Online at durhamtech.edu.
All day and all night, this is your home for local news, sports, traffic, weather, and information you can't get anyplace else. This is WCHL, 97.9 FM and 1360 AM, and streaming live wherever you are at chapelboro.com. You're waking up with Ron Stutz.
Still foggy out there this morning. We have a 100% chance of rain all day today. High today in the low 60s, but cold tonight and colder weather in the next couple of days. It's 9 o'clock.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
CBS News, I'm Frank Setapani. There was word from Omaha a short time ago that the Maryland surgeon who contracted Ebola in his native Sierra Leone has died. CBS News correspondent Heather Bosch is live with the latest.
Nebraska Medical Center says Dr. Martin Salia was in the advanced stages of Ebola when he arrived Saturday. And as infectious disease specialist William Schaffner points out, with this virus,
you've got to get the best treatment started absolutely as early as possible.
Salia was suffering kidney and respiratory failure. Despite treatment that included transfusions from a surviving Ebola patient and an experimental drug, Salia died. He's the second person Ebola's killed in the U.S. A Liberian man, Thomas Duncan, died in Dallas last month.
A video ISIS released announcing the beheading of a third American, aid worker Peter Kasich, is horrific and revealing for its defiance. CBS News military consultant Mike Lyons.
They're disclosing their faces, their locations. What I noticed, too, is the different men of the executioners within the video clearly are from different parts of the world.
I'm Vicky Barker. France's top security official says a young Frenchman is believed to be among the unmasked killers shown on the latest ISIS video. And the father of a British medical student says he believes his son is among those shown beheading Syrian soldiers. Ahmed Mutana says his 20-year-old son Nasser should fear Allah now for killing innocent people. ISIS apparently believes it's scoring propaganda points by showing how many of its killers come from the wealthy secular West. Frank?
Federal drug agents made surprise visits to at least three NFL visiting team locker rooms yesterday, investigating claims by ex-players the teams handed out painkillers like Halloween candy in order to keep injured players on the field.
Retired NFL players abuse painkillers at a rate four times higher than their peers. It's very possible that the DEA's interest in this is they think the NFL is creating addicts.
Washington Post columnist Sally Jenkins. Pope Francis will visit the U.S. next September. In Rome, CBS's Alan Pizzi tells us the Pope will attend the World Meeting of Families in Philadelphia.
The Pope is very strong on families. This is one of his big talking points. One of the cornerstones of his papacy is strengthening the family. So his visit to the United States for that is not really a surprise.
A report out today estimates that a record 2.5 million American children are homeless. Study author Carmela DeCandia says not having a place to live has consequences.
The accumulation of these kind of adverse childhood experiences impacts their development, their learning, their emotional and their social relationships. And it really can last into adulthood.
While more than half the country is shivering in temperatures well below freezing, the southeast is dealing with tornadoes. One touchdown at a prison in the Florida Panhandle before dawn, injuring two guards. WBZ-TV forecaster Danielle Niles.
Tornado warnings in portions of the Florida Panhandle stretching back up through southwest Georgia and eastern Alabama. With this line of severe weather that will track east, that will bring a threat for damaging wind gusts, heavy rain, and isolated tornadoes.
S&P futures are down 4 points. This is CBS News.
Grow the business.
Keep costs down.
It's not easy being a small or mid-sized business these days.
Compete with the big guys.
But automating and streamlining your workforce management can be. With Kronos, you can easily integrate HR, payroll, timekeeping, absence management. There's nothing to install